It's Friday, the 5th of June, day 76. I'm reading The Price of Peace, Zachary Carter's fine biography of John Maynard Keynes. I've just finished the chapter on the negotiations leading up to the Treaty of Versailles, which was signed in October 1919, finally bringing World War I to an end. Although the armistice that ended the fighting had been signed in November 1918, it took 11 months of wrangling between the victorious powers in Paris to agree the final text. And for most of that time, Keynes was a senior Treasury official attached to the British delegation. To say that the horse trading that went on between the French, British, Italian and American delegations at those talks was a travesty is to do travesty and injustice. Essentially, it was a competition to see who could impose the most swingeing claim for compensation on a defeated Germany. A Germany which, among other things, was starving because of the naval blockade which shut off her food supplies. Keynes was a key figure in these sordid discussions because of his luminous intelligence, his seniority in the Treasury, and his unparalleled access to Lloyd George, the British Prime Minister, and Woodrow Wilson, the American President. But he was consistently of the view that the Allied demands for vindictive reparations from the conquered enemy were hopelessly unrealistic. A devastated Germany would be unable to pay them, not least because the British had, on the quiet, snaffled the entire German commercial shipping fleet. And nothing but evil, Keynes thought, could come from imposing such a brutal settlement on a defeated country. Margaret Macmillan has written a masterly history of those negotiations, but Zachary Carter's necessarily briefer account does a pretty good job of relating how they were experienced by Keynes. He emerged from them physically and emotionally exhausted, enraged by the cavalier wickedness and irresponsibility of the leaders of the four powers. Eventually, he had enough and decided to quit. On May the 14th, he wrote to his mother. "I've been utterly worn out," he wrote, "partly by work, partly by depression of the evil around me. I've never been so miserable as for the last 2 or 3 weeks. The peace is outrageous and impossible, and can bring nothing but misfortune behind it. Personally, I do not believe the Germans will sign. But if they do sign, this will be in many ways the worse alternative. For it's out of the question that they could keep the terms, which are incapable of being kept, and nothing but general disorder and unrest could result. Certainly, if I were in the Germans' place, I'd rather die than sign such a peace." He signs off saying, "I suppose I've been an accomplice in all this wickedness and folly, but the end is now at hand. I'm writing to the Treasury to be released of my duties by June the 1st, if possible, and not later than June the 15th in any event." As I read this sobering chapter of Carter's book, two thoughts kept coming to mind. The first is that Keynes's feelings about the wickedness and stupidity of his political masters must have been echoed in the private views of contemporary British civil servants as they watched the clueless Brexiteers like David Davis and Liam Fox embark upon their, quote, negotiations, unquote, with Michel Barnier and his EU team. I vividly remember a photograph of the first meeting of Davis and Barnier, the latter with his team and their orderly ringbinders of papers, Davis sitting on the other side without a single note or a pad, grinning like a gap-toothed monkey and no doubt explaining that he just dropped in for a few minutes because he had a much more important meeting somewhere else, and thinking that thus must Clemenceau, the French Premier, have looked to Keynes in the spring of 1919. The other strange echo was the discovery that the work of the various delegations was seriously disrupted by another pandemic, the so-called Spanish flu, which ripped through all the teams of negotiators in Paris that year. Keynes himself caught it, and it knocked him out for a while. President Wilson also caught it, and there's speculation that in the process he may have suffered a stroke or two, which might explain some of the irrational rages of his which sometimes puzzled Keynes. At any rate, towards the end of the negotiations, Wilson was definitely not the man he once had been. Sadly for us, although Boris Johnson has definitely been impaired by the virus, he is still the moral cretin that he always has been.